Now that was a weekend I'll remember for a long time. I mean, I've always enjoyed outings ever since my boys started scouting. But a huge jamboree with over 800 Catholic scouts from 5 different dioceses? That's something special. I've seen scouts fly fishing, wood carving, and climbing before, but this jamboree's spiritual side was different. Scouts praying the Stations of the Cross by the lake, building an altar for the Mass that Bishop Guglielmone celebrated Saturday night. There was an adoration chapel, well, adoration tent, right down by the lake. It was awfully peaceful spending time with Christ, with a soft wind and the sound of the water in the background. The physical, the spiritual, and even the mental aspects of faith came into play. That Stairway to Heaven thing was a Catholic version of a trivia contest, though the answers were hardly trivial. Mediatrix Radio was there too. They were doing interviews and getting scouts to come by and talk about their experience. I guess they were trying to create a sort of record of the weekend, something we might refer back to when the memories start to fade. After all, this is the 100th anniversary of scouting in America. All those recordings put together should be a pretty good show. Well, I guess it's time to listen in.
Welcome to Mediatrix Radio's presentation of Catholic Radio at the Jamboree, recorded March 20th, 2010, at Camp Barstow, located on the shores of Lake Murray in Batesville, South Carolina. Scouts from the entire province of Atlanta attended this uniquely Catholic weekend, and Catholic Radio was there to record interviews and the reflections of many of the participants. So for the next 59 minutes and 45 seconds, let's find out about this Catholic scouting experience.
I'm Gary Towery. This is Catholic Radio in South Carolina. We're at Camp Barstow, the 2010 Catholic Scout Jamboree. We're talking with Sharon Morris this morning. Sharon, tell us, what is this camp? Where are we?
We are on the banks of Lake Murray in South Carolina, just northwest of Columbia. It's a 300-acre tract that the Boy Scouts purchased and have been developing over the last dozen years or so. We have 800 Boy Scouts here representing Catholic Scouting from the 5 dioceses that make up the province of Atlanta.
Well, can you tell us something about the program that's set for the Jamboree?
We have more than 20 events for the Scouts to rotate through. It is truly a Jamboree for Scouts to learn about duty to God and duty to country. Today they can go through activities like pioneering, where we have set up lashed bridges for scouts to learn how to tie knots and how to make their way in the woods. They've built rope bridges to cross if they ever get to a point where they would need that skill. There's tomahawk throwing, rope challenges, cooking, wood carving, fly fishing, all the basic Boy Scout type activities. But that's also balanced with a strong religious program this weekend. We have seminarians that are here talking to scouts. We have set up a information about St. George Trek, which is a Catholic outing. They take 10 scouts and seminarians and bishops or priests on a 12-day trek to the Philmont Boy Scout Camp in New Mexico. So it's a high adventure trip that just a select number of scouts get to take each year. So we're here talking to them about that. We have information about the Duty to God awards that are Catholic awards that are given out. We have a 24-hour adoration chapel as well that is set up down by the lake.
How did this jamboree come about?
Well, there were several leaders that were at a camporee. The Boy Scouts in a diocese, the Catholic diocese, would hold an event once a year. And knowing that this is the 100th year of Boy Scouting, they wanted to think bigger. Do we have an opportunity to bring Catholic boys together in faith and in fellowship in Boy Scouting and bring them to a place where they could have an adventure and a memorable experience to celebrate Scouting's 100th anniversary? So what started out as a conversation across a picnic table turned into an event that has 800 participants from 5 different dioceses and a really great opportunity for boys who may not get to go to the National Boy Scout Jamboree.
Can you sort of just give us an overview of the program layout?
Sure. Within each trek, we have 4 different treks. We have a craftsman trek, which is, you know, your typical Boy Scout activities like the fly fishing and cooking and wood carving. We have the Scout Spirit trek, which were the religious activities. We have a challenge trek, which is archery, climbing, shotgun shooting, and then a community track. We have the Red Crosses here doing a blood collection. We have the Coast Guard here. And so what we have is boys rotating through all of these activities to get an idea of what scouting's about, what faith is about, and what work in the community is about, because those are all elements that Boy Scouts support and that our churches support as well. So there's a really good marriage between those activities and what the Boy Scouts do.
Sharon, can you tell us how many troops are here and from what diocese they come from and what cities and states are represented?
We have three states represented here at the Jamboree. We have scouts from North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. There are 37 units that are registered Boy Scout troops that are here. We have about 168 on staff, and we have more than 450 scout participants.
Sharon, tell us who sponsors this activity.
Well, we have a very strong sponsorship from the South Carolina Knights of Columbus. The American Red Cross is here with the Bloodmobile. The Diocese of Charleston's Youth Ministry. The Greenwood, the local Knights of Columbus, did the fish fry last night, so we were very happy to have them here. We have sponsorship from the Charlotte Diocese, who actually did our digital design for our scout patches, which is an important part of scouting. And the Ancient Order of the Hibernians, we just have a number of folks that have graciously supported Boy Scouting and supported this event.
So it sounds like you have not only Catholic-type sponsors, but non-Catholic sponsors.
Most definitely. I think that they see the value in scouting and the close bond between spirituality and Boy Scouting and just the strong program that scouting offers to all youth.
The Jamboree ends.
The Jamboree will end on Sunday. It ends tomorrow.
Sharon, what are the main events going on in the Jamboree?
Well, as I mentioned, we have the four tracks of activities throughout the day. And at the end of those activities, we will have a mass. The bishop will be here. He'll say mass on the shore of Lake Murray in a really beautiful amphitheater as the sun goes down. We'll be celebrating mass. We'll be celebrating our faith. And after that, we'll have the traditional Boy Scout campfire and skits that will go on till probably pretty late tonight. The campers will have had a long day. I don't imagine we'll hear much noise in the woods tonight other than the birds. And then they'll get up in the morning and we'll have a closing ceremony and then they'll all head home.
So the mass today is a vigil mass.
Yes, it is.
Sharon, thank you. We're at Camp Barstow, the 2010 Catholic Scout Jamboree. I'm Gary Towery talking with Jim Weiskircher, chairman of the Jamboree. Jim, tell us what's special about this Jamboree.
What sets us apart from other jamborees or camporees is that it's a balanced program. The Scout Oath starts out, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country." And what we wanted to do is to balance the God with the country, because so many different camporees and jamborees that you get, you will probably only have maybe an hour during the entire weekend in order to study and learn more about God. So what we wanted to do is a great mix that kids would be excited about and go back and say, you know, I had a really incredible time and I learned more about my faith, and it was just a great experience for them. So that's what we want to do, is provide something that balances the two out and have something unique for them.
Explain to me what you're doing that's going to help them grow in their faith.
Well, one of the things that we concentrated on was the area of Scout Spirit. And in the Scout Spirit, we have broken it down into nine different areas for the Scouts to work on. One of the areas that is close to my heart is in the area of the vocations and the Gold Congressional Award. And we put those two together. And with each one of the dioceses put together a display and information on their vocations programs, and we tied it with the Gold Congressional Award, which is something that Scouts can get by volunteering and doing many other things. So we combined the two because two of our members that are working that booth have both earned their Gold Congressional Award. One is one of our new seminarians, Andrew Fremmel, and the other is Stefan Zollinger. And they earned it and actually received it in the halls of Congress a year and a half ago.
Jim, tell us how this translates into programs and activities that the Boy Scouts participate in.
Well, one of the great activities that they've got that the Catholic Church, the National Committee of Scouting, has is called the St. George's Trek. And the St. George's Trek is held every 2 years, and it was actually started by our bishop, Bishop Guglielmone. What happens is in the mountains of New Mexico, there is a 130,000-acre ranch that is the Cadillac of high adventure programs for Boy Scouting. If you've been to Philmont, it's a badge of courage within the program, because it's every trek is at least 50 miles long. You're backpacking at an elevation where you start at about 6,000 feet and you go all the way up to 12,000 feet. So it becomes a little bit of a strain and a challenge to boys. And it's a great experience because what they're doing is they're pushing themselves. They normally don't think that they can do it, but after they've done it, they feel much better about themselves, and they've gone to a different level.
Sounds like it may be a challenge to the adults.
Yeah, it is. I went on Philmont Trek 5 years ago, just a normal trek, and you have to basically get in shape for about a year.
You said 130,000 acres.
That's correct. And in it, the diocese last year, the diocesan committee, sponsored three young men that went to Philmont. And it was a great program because what they did is they go for 2 days, and they end up having a retreat, and they're going and learning more about their faith and also the leadership qualities. When they get back to the diocese, they're supposed to help out and do special things. And then they go 5 days on a trek, and the treks are, there's 10 boys, and then there is a priest and a seminarian on the trek. Every day on the trek, they'll have mass, they'll have reflections, they'll have leadership programs. Then in the middle of the trek, they stop, and all of them meet for two more days in the Philmont Mountains, and they will complete it with another 5 days on the trail, and then what they'll do is they'll go back to New Mexico for the retreat center, and they'll have a final mass. And what is very cool about this is normally the opening day for the young men, there's usually three bishops there. Bishop Geldefinger from Evansville, Indiana, actually treks with them, so that he's with each one of the treks because there are six different groups that go out. So there's, I think last year there were 65 boys that went on the trek. And so they have a great time experiencing nature and getting closer to God because it's a time for them to reflect on what they're doing, what are they going to do for the rest of their lives, to consider the priesthood. That's one of the things that they do talk about. They provide an environment to where when kids are walking and stuff and you're spending 2 weeks with a priest, you feel very comfortable asking them questions you normally would not ask a priest. And so it's a very open experience for the boys. And all the priests love scouting, and they have a great time. In fact, they're fighting to go on the trek. One of the things that was disappointing last year for us is Father Kirby was selected in order to go on the trek, but because of some of his commitments, he was not able to go. So we're looking for Father Kirby to be on the trek next year.
What other activities are involved in Duty to God?
One of the activities we've got is we've got the Stations of the Cross, and there is a beautiful area that goes out around the lake, and it's a chapel area. One of the groups that we've got is a crew from St. Mary Help of Christians, and what they are doing is they are leading the Stations of the Cross. And what they are doing is they're taking the scouts around and going through each of the stations. And at the end of it, we actually make it very easy for the kids to tell which kids are going through it because we give them a baseball cap that actually has an eagle on the front bill of it so that when we're looking around, we can tell how many kids have actually gone through because we know how many baseball caps were given out. So we know how many kids actually went through it. And we are not opposed to giving incentives to kids in order to go to different programs. One of the things with the vocations and the Gold Congressional Award, if they go through the Gold Congressional Award and also the St. George's Trek, what we will do is we'll give them a little tent van to go. And so what we do is we give them something interesting for them to do it. We don't just have them come to a little booth and talk for a few seconds and run away. We actually have 10 questions that they have to complete. St. George's Trek, they have to complete 10 questions. They have to complete 10 questions for the vocations area and also the museum. So it keeps their interest. It gives them something to look for. And when they do look at different things, then they can very quickly see other things. Like one of the questions on the one for the vocations track is, in the Diocese of Charleston, we have one seminarian that's a graduate of Catholic University. What is his name and where does he go to school? And so they have to go through the board of the different seminarians and find out which seminary is doing what. And what is great is they have to read everybody's bio. It's not just one bio, you know, like you just go and run. They have to find it. And so it becomes a little contest for them. And so they're learning something as they're going through the different programs. In the vocation area, we do something a little bit different. One of the things that we've done is because we're coming off the year of the priest, we wanted to do something special for our seminarians. What we've done is for each of the dioceses, we've set up a box. And in that box, there are cards that are designed from the Jamboree for the seminarians. And what we want each of the young men that are here or young women that are here to sign the card. And what we're going to do at the end so that, let's say from Raleigh, they have 17 seminarians. We put together 17 cards for them to sign. So the kids have to sign each one of the 17 cards. And then they will receive a letter from Brady Ostendorf, who is our senior patrol leader, explaining that we want to keep them in our prayers and we want to do something special for them. And we just wanted to let them know that we will continue to keep them in the prayers and we believe in their ministry and we want to support them wherever we can. In the Stairway to Heaven program, it's a great program because what it is, it's Jeopardy, basically around our faith. There are different categories, and each category has a different point score, much like Jeopardy. And it has been well received within the program. And the kids are very competitive, and so what they're doing is they're trying to answer the question the best they can.
Is there a prize?
On that one, there actually is a laminated Boy Scout Holy Card that they get. And so there are different events that we've got. We've got four events that we are actually giving them something for going through. So it creates a little bit of excitement for them as they go through because they get something. And when they get home, all of a sudden they'll see this and they'll remember exactly what they did in order to earn it. So that if you went to the vocations and you learned something about the vocations area, that makes it very great for you that you've progressed a little more in your faith.
How about the Adoration Chapel?
With the Adoration Chapel, one of the things that we had a little mix-up in the morning, and so we had thought someone was going to bring a consecrated host. So what happened was the bishop stepped in. And he actually held a little mass for us, which was really a beautiful ceremony because it was right off the water in the little adoration chapel. And it was a very quaint thing with only 20 people in it. He consecrated the host, and then we had the adoration chapel.
They're actually being able to experience adoration with the host that the bishop consecrated, which is special.
One of the things that makes it very special for us is that the bishop consecrated the host, and so that when the boys are there or whatever, they know that this is something, this is the body of Christ, and it was consecrated by the bishop. One of the things before they go in, many times what happens is this is the first experience for some of these kids for adoration. So what we do is we explain to them what adoration is, and just to give them an idea, so it's actually giving them a taste of what adoration is and trying to teach them, because many times in their own parishes, they don't get a chance to see it or experience it, and I think that that's something very special for them.
It is special. I did visit it today. It was special to kneel in front of the monstrance and hearing the wind blowing and can feel the flap of the tent around you sort of making a noise. That's the first time I've been to adoration in the wild, in nature. I mean, you know, outdoors. Jim, I noticed another activity, geocaching. What is that?
Geocaching is actually the next generation of finding your way on a map. Before, when I was a Boy Scout, we used to take out a compass and we would try to learn how to get to a point. Because of the advances in technology, they've got ways in order to locate things by global positioning. And what we've done is we're teaching the boys how to use a GPS unit to plug in the coordinates. And what they have to do is go out and find those coordinates based on going right, going left, or whatever. When they get to the cache, what the cache is actually one of eight saints. There is actually a little patch that is in the geocache. And so what they do is they'll see it, and it may be Blessed Damien, or it's now St. Damien. There's a bio on them, and they'll have to answer five or six different questions in order to do it. And so what they're doing is they're actually learning about saints, American saints. And in a great way, it's combining a Boy Scout activity with a religious activity. And so that's how we're trying to marry the two together.
So we don't do the compass anymore?
We do the compass, but it's a little more primitive. Most of the cell phones and everything else we have basically have GPS and everything else in it. So what we're doing is taking it to the next level. In my day, it's kind of like when we used to have to do semaphore, you know, like with the flags and stuff. That's long gone. So it's, you know, like some technologies come along that kind of replace them. So this is the new and upcoming program.
Let's move on and talk about the part of the program that is duty to country. What is that?
The Duty to Country program is actually a letter writing program that we've set up in order for each one of the boys to be able to write, or and girls, to be able to write a letter to a service person telling them how much they appreciate what they're doing and that we were thinking about them during the 2010 Catholic Jamboree.
Explain to me, what is the Catholic Boy Scout Association and how it's organized in this diocese?
About 6 years ago, the Catholic Committee on Scouting was started in order to promote Catholic scouting throughout the state. We wanted to develop programs that would reinforce the youth ministry program of the diocese and to give kids another outlet, because some kids are very much into youth rallies and things like that, and some are much more quiet and reserved. So we wanted to do something to train the next level of leadership in our diocese. We developed a Catholic Camporee program, which is held every October. And what we do is we try to give scouts the idea that there are other Catholic scouts around. Many times they'll be in an area where they may be the only scout troop in a county or a five-county area. And so what we wanted to do is to present something that would say to them, okay, it's great to be Catholic. You know, you can be a Catholic scout and do some great things. For me, an experience I had in 2005 was to go to the National Scout Jamboree. And at the National Scout Jamboree, we actually had mass where we had a cardinal, we had a couple of archbishops, we had four or five bishops, and probably 30 priests there to serve 10,000 Catholic scouts that were up on the side of the hill. And it was great because you'd see the little umbrellas going up, and the umbrellas would tell you where the communion stations are because there were like 30 communion stations set up throughout the entire facility. So when I was there, it gave me a great feeling that, you know, it's great to be a Catholic scout. We should be doing more of this in the state of South Carolina. And so that's what we've done. And every year we've grown the program more and more. In fact, last year we allowed Girl Scouts to join us. And so it has grown exponentially from there. And so what we're trying to do is provide scouting as a viable youth ministry in the Diocese of Charleston.
Scouting with a Catholic experience.
That is correct.
Strikes me that there's a focus on growth in faith and vocations.
That's true. One of the things that, as a diocese, that we have a problem in is that we have so few priests. Bishop Guglielmone has said that it takes 11 seminarians a year to give us the six that we need to just replace the priests that we've got today. And so it's important for us to develop programs to where we're building the next generation of leaders in our church. And for us, we're very proud because we've had one of our Eagle Scouts. He will be in the next class of seminarians. Andrew Fremo is an Eagle Scout from Jesus, Our Risen Savior. And it's great for us to see a program to where Andrew has gone through with the Ed Otari Day Award. He also earned the Pope Pius Award in scouting, which is our Catholic age-appropriate medals for them. So what we're trying to do is give programs that will reinforce what the diocese is trying to do to promote vocations. We're very fortunate because we have David Nurbin, who is an Eagle Scout, who will be ordained as a deacon this year, and he's actually in Rome studying. We have Father Jeff Kirby, who is a former Eagle Scout. So we're very proud.
Father David Michael, another scouted priest?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Father David Michael is an Eagle Scout also.
Yes.
In fact, we're unfortunate Father David Michael's sister was being married this weekend, and so he had to do that wedding, so he was unable to join us this weekend.
Jim, tell us how interested parents can get in touch with the Scouting Association in the Diocese of Charleston.
What they can do is they can go to the National Catholic Committee on Scouting's website, which is www.nccs-bsa.org. And on the website, what they can do is go to the link. It will show you a map of the United States. Click on the area, and it will tell you the contact person in this area. If it's for the state of South Carolina, the contact information will be mine.
What is the age for Boy Scouts?
Okay, Boy Scouts is broken into a couple of different age categories. Cub Scouts basically start at 6 or 7 years old up to about 10 and a half to 11. From 11 all the way up to 18 are Boy Scouts. And then we also have Venture, which is from 14 to 21. And Ventures, they can be either boys or girls.
Jim, is there anything else going on this weekend that our listeners would be interested in hearing about?
First off, let me tell you about the Gold Medallion Award. The Gold Medallion Award is a national level award that is given to the finest troop, crew, or pack from one of the Episcopal regions. In our Episcopal region, what we do is we cover the states of North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. So all the troops that are in that area are all a part of the region. And what we will do is tonight we will give one to a troop out of Atlanta for a troop level gold medallion award, and we will be giving one gold medallion award winner to St. Mary Help of Christian crew 115 out of Aiken. And so the one nice thing is that we have a national award winner that's actually from our diocese that will be receiving it tonight from the bishop.
What do they have to do to actually get this award?
The award is based on several different things. One, it's the strength of your program. Two, it's based on your religious emblems, whether the boys or girls are earning their religious emblems and advancing in their ministry. It's the support of the adults in the program that are reinforcing the program. And it is the best well-balanced program for Catholic Scouting in this region. And so they're actually receiving it this year.
Who's on the awards committee that makes the selection?
Actually, the person that makes the selection is the regional chair for the National Committee on Scouting.
Jim, tell us what's in the future for Catholic Scouting in this diocese.
We have two exciting new programs that are on tap. The first one will be held this third weekend of October, and it will be held at Fort Jackson in Columbia, and that will be our sixth annual Catholic Camporee. The second thing that we're going to be having is on March 25th, 26th, and 27th in Charleston. What we're going to do is we're going to have a Ten Commandment Walk, and the Ten Commandment Walk allows us to have two commandments at each one of the churches, and one of the most exciting things about it is that Bishop Guglielmone has allowed us to be able to show his home as one of the steps, one of the stations in the walk.
Jim, thank you for inviting us to be here today and to talk with you at the 2010 Catholic Jamboree. We'd like to wrap the interview up. Can you now repeat for us the contact website that interested parents should go to?
That website would be www.nccs-bsa.org.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much.
I'm Gary Towery with the 2010 Catholic Jamboree. I'm talking with Jim Pozinski. Jim, in what capacity are you here at this Jamboree?
I'm the crew advisor for the venturing crew from St. Mary Help of Christians Church in Aiken, South Carolina.
What is a venture crew?
Venture crew is a program of the Boy Scouts of America that serves youth, 14 to 20-year-old co-eds.
What exactly is the responsibility of your group here?
My group was asked to run the Stations of the Cross station.
That's part of the spiritual tract.
That's correct. We have six youth here who have been taking shifts all day and advising people and helping them through the Stations of the Cross.
A group arrives, it's usually, what, 7 or 8 or 10 scouts, I assume, and then what happens?
Well, one of the wonderful experiences that the crew has had so far is that you get a group of, let's say, 10 youth come up, and they've been shooting and having a great time, and they're all energized, and they come up, and they're instructed. They're given pamphlets of how to go through and meditate on the different stations, and so then they walk through the 14 stations that they have, and by the time they come back, they're all peaceful and serene, and they have commented that they weren't really expecting that kind of reaction.
They're praying these stations. They're surrounded by trees and water.
They're surrounded by trees and water, and at the ending point of the stations, they're at a very nice, peaceful outdoor chapel here.
So how many scouts have gone through the Stations of the Cross?
Hundreds. I couldn't even count.
Is this the first time you've done this as a venture crew?
This is the first time we've participated in a provincial camporee, but my crew has participated in the 4th and 5th annual Catholic camporees, usually held at Fort Jackson here in South Carolina.
So as a venture crew, what do they do as part of our activities to build spirituality?
Our crew to build spirituality actually has just begun the Pope Pius XII Religious Emblem Award. And what it is a vocations program to help the children or help these youth understand what they're being called to, whether it's into the religious or into the laity, whether they're going to be teachers or engineers. It's whatever God's calling them to do, and so they can listen.
So how many kids do you think your group has worked with?
Well, we're starting the program right now with our youth. There's 12 youth that are involved with that. But our venturing crew works regularly with our parish, and we run monthly movie nights where we get up to about 100 children, and so it allows the parents to go and connect once a month with each other, and it helps raise money for their activities that they do during the year.
How many members in your venture crew?
We have 12 youth right now.
And they range in what ages?
They range right now 15 to 18 years old.
This is boys and girls?
Boys and girls.
What's the mix?
The mix are 8 girls, 4 boys.
And how long has this venture crew been in existence in your parish?
We are just over 1 year.
I understand that at the Mass there will be a particular honor for your group.
That's correct. These youth had received the 2009 Golden Medallion Award, the highest order of the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, and we're very proud of that. They've worked very hard for that. So their first year in existence, they won the award, and that's awesome.
That's a national award?
Yes, it is, but apparently they're given out in regions, and so they won this region, which covers Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida.
What's the high point of this Jamboree for you?
Well, the high point of this jamboree was one of the goals of the crew is they wanted to connect with other Catholic scouts that had the same interests because there isn't a lot of Catholic scouts in the state of South Carolina. So anytime that they have an opportunity to get together with kids that share their faith and their activities, that is a success for all.
Thank you, Jim. It was fantastic talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Catholic Radio at the Jamboree. We'll be right back after these messages. AKJ Consulting, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, in cooperation with New Way Properties, utilizes years of experience to assist people in finding and acquiring affordable housing in the upstate. They also have a program to assist those in danger of going into foreclosure. For more information, David Case can be reached at 864-430-4877. That's 864-430-4877. Holly Tree Pediatric Dentistry, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, is located at 1334 South Highway 14 between Woodruff Road and Main Street in Simpsonville. Dr. Ann Bynum specializes in pediatric dentistry and has cared for the dental health of upstate children since opening her practice in 1997. For more information, Dr. Ann's website is hollytreepediatricdentistry.com. Our Holly Tree's phone number is 864-297-5585. That's 864-297-5585. Fisher Barton South Carolina Inc. is a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio. Utilizing their in-house production facilities, Fisher Barton specializes in engineered materials and processes for the automotive, lawn, garden, and various other industries. Located in Fountain Inn, Fisher Barton can be reached at 864-862-3138. That's 864-862-3138. Polydeck Screen Corporation, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, was founded in Spartanburg in 1978 to manufacture and market modular synthetic screen media in North America. Serving the gold, copper, phosphate, and aggregate industries, Polydeck strives to honor God in all they do. Their phone number is 864-579-4594. They're also on the web at www.polydeckscreen.com. The Catholic Shop, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, has baptismal, communion, confirmation, and wedding gifts, and offers books on apologetics, spirituality, theology, and church history to assist adults and children in their faith formation. They also provide sacred vessels, vestments, and Italian hand-carved statuary to parishes. For more information about this family-owned business, located at 180 North Dean Street, Suite 103 in downtown Spartanburg, John or Judy can be reached at 864-585-2667.
Why do we strive so fiercely after money? Psalm 49 tells us plainly that though we trust in our wealth, we can in no way redeem ourselves. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, that if we want to be rich, we fall into traps and temptations. We become slaves of our desires and possessions. Sound familiar? We should strive instead for righteousness, love, patience, and gentleness. If we truly believe that all we have is a gift from God, then whether from abundance or from lack, we admit, it's not our money. I'm Joe Galloway.
Joe Galloway is a published author and popular speaker. With over 25 years of investment and banking experience, Joe works with individuals and business owners on their important money matters. In an effort to transform his work into a faith-filled vocation, Joe began It's Not Your Money, a web-based ministry that redirects people's attitudes about money and personal finances toward God. Joe's website is www.itsnotyourmoney.org. Again, itsnotyourmoney.org. And now we return to Catholic Radio at the Jamboree.
I'm Gary Towery with the 2010 Catholic Jamboree outside of Batesburg, South Carolina, and we're talking with one of the scouts participating in the Jamboree. We're talking with Charlie Eden. Charlie, tell me, where do you come from? What's your troop?
I come from Troop 8 in Waxhaw, North Carolina.
So how long did it take you to get here?
Took me 4 hours, about 200 miles.
Since you arrived, what's the first thing you did when you arrived?
We got to camp. We got all our stuff out of the cars, and we made sure that everything was on its way to camp. So
you set up your tents?
Yep, set up our tents.
So what have you been doing since you've been here?
Well, we slept, we ate, and then we started working. First thing in the morning, we went off to the archery range. We also shot off some rifles. Great time.
What other activities have you been in? Have you done Catholic Jeopardy?
I have done Catholic Jeopardy.
How many points did you get?
1,500.
Wow, you must be pretty good.
Yeah.
Tell me, which of these activities you enjoyed the most?
Catholic Jeopardy was really fun. You got to use your, what you know. And
good. Were you able to go on the Stations of the Cross?
I have not yet.
That's next to do, huh?
Next to do.
Thank you, Charlie, and enjoy the rest of your jamboree.
You too.
Next, we're talking with Tim Wall at the 2010 Catholic Jamboree outside of Batesburg. Tim, I understand that you had a sort of an exciting morning. You had an opportunity to interview Bishop Guglielmone.
Yes, I did. I interviewed him about what he does in Scouts and about his chaplain service through the Boy Scouts.
Are you going to publish this interview or what?
Yes, it's going to be in the Jamboree newspaper coming out tomorrow morning. Also, we're thinking about sending it to the Herald back at my...
Your hometown?
Yeah.
Where do you come from?
I live in Matthews, North Carolina.
So what is your scout troop number and what parish are you associated with?
Troop 12 with St. John Newman Catholic Church.
And how long have you been a Boy Scout?
I've been a Boy Scout for 5 years.
And how many merit badges do you have now?
I have 20 merit badges.
Have you done the Order of the Hour yet?
Yes, I have done the Order of the Hour.
Tell me, what can you tell me about that experience?
It's been great. I'm a Brotherhood member of the OA, and it's a great time with older scouts in the troop, the national leadership of the Boy Scouts.
Are you working to become an Eagle Scout?
Yes, I am. Right now, I'm currently life, working on my Eagle.
So how long will it be before you actually become an Eagle Scout?
Right now, I'm finishing up one of my last merit badges, and then I'm going to start working on my Eagle project.
Have you identified your special project?
No, I have not.
Tell me, what's the most fun thing you've done here at the Jamboree?
The most fun I've had probably this Jamboree so far is interviewing the bishop. It was a good experience.
What was it like? Were you nervous?
At first, I was nervous interviewing the bishop, but after a while, it became easier, and it was actually a learning experience for me.
Would you like to be involved in Catholic media sometime?
The media has crossed my mind. I'm open to all opportunities.
So you're discerning. You're discerning whether your vocation will be the media or not.
Yes.
Thank you, Tim, for talking to us today. And we greatly appreciate your insights on interviewing the bishop.
Well, thank you for interviewing me. Have a nice rest of the weekend.
You have a good jamboree for the rest of the time.
Thank you.
I'm Gary Towery with the 2010 Scout Jamboree in Batesburg, South Carolina. Next, we're talking with Senior Patrol Leader Tyquan Bridges Johnson. Tyquan, tell us, what is a Senior Patrol Leader?
A Senior Patrol Leader is a scout that is of higher rank and of higher experience than usually a life scout in a troop that is taking a charge of the patrols in his troop. Patrols may number from 1 to maybe 4, but he is the leader of all 4 patrols.
What's your scout troop and where do you come from?
My scout troop is Troop 172, located in Charlotte, North Carolina, Our Lady Constellation Catholic Church.
How large is your troop?
Our troop is numbered to 12 boys.
12 boys, and I assume you must be a leader in that.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about some of your special activities here in this jamboree as a senior patrol leader.
Some of our special activities involve learning more about religious experience as involved in Catholic jamborees and camborees. And we've also learned a lot about our brethren in different states and counties. For example, I met a troop from Atlanta, Georgia, and my troop does a lot in common with them. For example, they go out camping maybe twice a month. We go out camping twice a month. We do kind of the same learning experiences, like knot tying experiences and games. We also do some of the religious experiences, like go to different Catholic churches to get learn more about religious awards.
So tell me, how long have you been a Boy Scout?
I've been a Boy Scout for 12 years.
And how old are you now?
I'm 17 years old.
Tyquan, tell me, what's going to stand out about this jamboree for you?
The diversity of the troops and the different experiences of each troop And I've learned more different learning experiences. For example, different troops teach in different ways. And some of the senior patrol leaders from other troops kind of give me advice on how I can make learning more fun for the boys in my troop.
You got a specific example of what you've sort of, how you put that into action?
Let's see. On Camp Breeze, we usually just set up camp and go to sleep right away. But a friend from Atlanta told me that with his troop, he usually kind of has a Boy Scout knowledge game where they have cards with maybe what do the two stars on the right side of the on the first class badge stand for? And another scout would have to guess the answer. And we kind of play a mix and match game for the boys before they go to bed. It also helps them learn more about the Boy Scouts, and they also have fun while doing it.
Okay, thank you. Next, we're talking with Brady Ostendorf, who is the senior patrol leader for the entire Jamboree. He's like the head Boy Scout here. Brady, what are your duties as the senior patrol leader for the Jamboree?
Well, here at the Jamboree, I head up the campfires and the MC for a lot of events, lead up the flag ceremonies, and just make sure everything runs smoothly at the events.
Well, you look very impressive with your uniform and all the badges and things. Can you kind of just tell me what it all means?
Well, thank you. Just give you a general outline. This is the Adultery Day. I earned this doing some paperwork with my troop and going over the Catholic faith, over the sacraments, and going over the creed and what we believe. And this is the St. George Trek medal. And earned that with went over to the St. George Trek for a couple of weeks. The St. George Trek takes place over in New Mexico, Cimarron, New Mexico. It is a two-week hike experience where you get to retreat back into the woods with a backpack.
How much do you walk each day? It's a trek, so you must be hiking.
Yes. It's a lot of walking, about ranges from maybe 80 miles to over 100 miles, the amount of hiking that you do.
So you're carrying all your food, you're carrying all your equipment with you on this trek?
Yes, sir. You carry your food and your water and your equipment and your bags and your pots and pans.
You're doing this trek with a priest?
Yes. We had advisors who walked around with us. We had priests, seminarians, and bishops who were our advisors.
And you have mass each day while you're out there?
For the crews that had priests, yes, we had mass every day.
How many scouts were on the trek with you?
We had 64 this past year.
Tell me how you feel that this trek really helped you to grow in your faith.
Well, it was an amazing experience. It was beautiful country, and it was just helped me with growing in leadership, and it's led to a domino effect with a bunch of events that have been happening since then, which culminated up to this point, to the Catholic Jamboree, which is so much fun. It's exciting to be here. A lot of faith-filled people.
Is that how you got selected to be the senior patrol leader?
I believe so. I think so. Yes, sir.
I'm sure you're becoming a role model for some of the younger scouts. What advice do you have for them?
Stay with the faith, grow in love with God, and do your best to be a leader to others.
Excellent. Brady, thank you for taking time to talk with us today. We know you're real busy. There's a lot of scouts here, and I know you have a lot of duties to do. So thank you again for visiting with us, and good luck on your 2010 Jamboree.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
I'm Gary Towery. This is Catholic Radio with the 2010 Catholic Jamboree at Camp Barstow. This is the first Catholic Jamboree in the province of Atlanta. Is that right, Bishop?
It is. It is.
We greatly appreciate you taking time to talk to us today, and especially about this, the first Jamboree. There's one track here that really has our interest, and it's called the St. George track. We understand that that is originated with you, that you're the founder.
That's correct. I am. And it's a track that's operated at Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico.
Bishop, what led you to found this track?
Well, there are a number of things. You mentioned that there were a number of tracks that were here at this particular Jamboree. And that's the whole scout method, is that you use the scouting programs and you intersperse whatever the chartering unit wants to intersperse within the scouting program. So that's why you have the spiritual track that is also part of the whole scouting experience, you know. And it's a perfectly beautiful educational method and a formational method. What had happened is I was chaplain out of Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico, and I had been there a couple of years as chaplain. And I noticed that the Mormons, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, would bring their young people out to Philmont for what we called leadership training. But they would bring them out, and they would do like a week of classroom kind of stuff, and then send them out for 3 or 4 days to do some of the scouting activities. So I looked at that, and I says, oh my goodness, we can do so much better than that. I wanted to look at this as more of an integration of the scouting experience and the religious dimension. So got a group of people together. We talked about it. We met a number of places, got the approval of the Philmont administration because this was something new. Nothing like this had ever been done at Philmont. And we decided to pull together this experience for young people. And I used to call it the sandwich experience. The bread for the sandwich, the two slices of bread, were the scouting experience. And the meat of the experience was the middle of that sandwich, the crux of it. And that was the spiritual component that we added to it. And it's been going on now for over 15 years, and it's a wonderful program.
So you laid out the content for the very first track when they went on the hike for a number of days as to what they were actually going to be doing, the spiritual experience you wanted them to have during this period of time.
Well, we left a lot up to the Holy Spirit. One of the things we wanted to do was to use a typical Philmont trek, which is a 12-day hike through the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in New Mexico at Philmont Scout Ranch, which, by the way, is an absolutely gorgeous, absolutely beautiful spot, perhaps one of the most beautiful places in the whole country. That was what we wanted to use. And we wanted, in the middle, these seven different groups. We had seven groups that would be called a crew to come together in one of the backcountry camps for a 2.5-day spiritual retreat. They would start out with the usual Philmont experience, going to regular camps, then all coming together in one where we would have the 2.5 to 3-day retreat experience, and then they would go off and finish the trek in various other parts of the camp. The key was that they were hiking with a priest and seminarian as the crew leaders. And in the case, we had a couple of girl crews that went through with two religious sisters. It has developed that we've had a couple of bishops that have hiked the trek, so we've had either priest and seminarian or bishop and seminarian, or in some cases, bishop and priest, as the crew leaders for these young people, which would mean that every day they'd have Mass or some prayer experience on a mountaintop in a beautiful location. There would be a sharing of spiritual experiences, and all in the glory of this beautiful country in southwest part of the United States, Cimarron, New Mexico.
Sounds like a fantastic opportunity for a discernment process.
We looked at it as Catholic Christian leadership, but with a stress on religious vocations. We were always hoping. And it's a magnificent time. First of all, one of the posters I saw over here indicated that last year, when they had done a survey, that 38% of all of the priests in the United States had some scouting experience. At the present time, at the North American College in Rome, over 50% of the seminarians were at one point at some level of scouting. So when you look at that and you say, my goodness, here is a program that is attracting the kinds of young people that would be interested in priesthood. It's a program filled with all kinds of values. Should we not as a church be very much involved in this kind of a program?
So this jamboree here is an opportunity for scouts to maybe be identified to participate in the St. George Trek. This morning we interviewed Brady Ostendorf.
Mm-hmm. He did it, by the way. Brady just did it this past summer.
And he's the patrol leader for the jamboree. Sounds like a trek that identifies young men that have leadership potential, and maybe from some of these leadership potential comes vocations.
Oh, absolutely. We've had some success with that. We've had two who have been ordained priests, you know, since the trek has begun. We've had six that have entered seminaries. Some have decided, no, this was not for them. Some of them are still there right now because this trek continues every 2 or 3 years. And some have gone through some seminary experience, taken a leave to discern further. But more than that is we have produced, I think, some very strong Christian leadership for the Catholic Church. One of the things we ask at the end of the trek is that the young people sign a covenant agreement that what they have experienced on this trek, they will somehow or another try to share with other scouts and with their Catholic committees back in their own diocese, which is exactly what Brady is doing, what exactly Chris is doing. Chris is the other young man who is manning the St. George Trek booth up here. He also did the trek last summer. Both of them and the third young man from the Diocese of Charleston who was on the trek last summer, the three of them were instrumental in the diocesan scout retreat that was held at Fort Jackson in the fall. So these young people come back from this experience fired up with all kinds of desire to be part of the Catholic experience in scouting.
So many of these scout troops come from the rural South, and there are not a lot of Catholics in their areas. So this opportunity that they're able to come together and be with fellow scouts and experience the spiritual trek was eye-opening for me, and I kind of wish more parents could probably see that. What are your reactions to what's happening?
It's running very, very well, and I think the program that these Catholic committees from these Five Dioceses is actually is superb. They've done a great mix of both the spiritual and the scouting program, and I think that that's critical. They've done it very, very well. One of the best jamboree types of experiences I've seen, and I've seen a lot of them.
Can you see this in the future being repeated?
I would hope so. This is kind of special. This is to honor the 100th anniversary of the Boy Scouts of America, and certainly the reason for coming together to celebrate this is unique. But in terms of the possibilities for the future, I think we can bring folks together for a number of good reasons.
Your Excellency, I know that you have a history in scouting. Can you sort of review that for us?
Well, I was not a scout as a young person. I lived in a parish that didn't offer a scouting program. And don't forget, we're going back now a good number of years. And the only scouting program in the small town I grew up in was in the Protestant church. And local pastor wasn't too thrilled with his Catholic boys being part of a Protestant troop. So there was no encouragement at that time, and he didn't want to get a Catholic troop started. Thank God times have changed. But at that particular time, that was the way it was. After my first year of seminary, I was hoodwinked by a fellow seminarian to take a position in a council camp as chaplain because he had agreed to the position, found a job offering more money, wanted to get out of it, and the priest who signed the contract with him told him, "No way are you getting out of this unless you find your replacement." So he talked me into going, and after one summer at the council camp, I says, "This program has tremendous possibilities. This is something I have to stay with." And I did. So from 1974, I became involved. After ordination to priesthood, the bishop asked me to be diocesan chaplain. I became eventually the chaplain for the Metropolitan New York region, eventually associate national chaplain in the United States, national chaplain, became involved in Philmont at the Scout Ranch, spent many, many summers out there. And then eventually I was asked by the Vatican to be the representative to World Scouting as the world chaplain.
Your Excellency, I know that a number of the scouts here have expressed gratitude to the fact that you're here. In fact, we interviewed one of the scouts this morning who had interviewed you. And he commented that he was nervous when he started, but how it became very easy to interview, and he became very relaxed, and it was so easy to talk to you.
I have been involved in with young people my whole priesthood, and even before. I was a high school teacher before I entered the seminary, so I have a lot of experience and a lot of respect for young people. And I look at this program of scouting and say, this is a very, very good thing for us as church to be able to use this program and reach out to young people. We want the young to continue to be part of the church because we really feel the church has something to offer them. But then we do have to offer them something of substance. This is one of the ways in which we can offer substantial programming to help them develop as good, mature Catholic Christians.
They see you in a scout uniform with a number of badges I notice on it and a number of patches there. So it suggests that you're active.
Well, it suggests I've been to a few places. I mean, this is the World Jamboree, and I've got a couple of religious awards, and this is the Philmont patch and all of that. Obviously, I don't have any of the badges that the young people would earn because I wasn't a scout as a young person. So this is all adult stuff. But it reminds me as well.
How many of our parishes do we have that have scout troops?
I can't tell you an actual number. I'm not sure, but I would tend to think about half of them are actually chartering units. The number one chartering unit for scouting in the United States is the Methodist Church. There are more Methodist troops than chartered than any other. Number two would be the Mormons, and the Catholics are number three.
We have a number of scouting priests. I know of two. I think Father David Michael and Father Kirby are the two that come to mind. I don't know if there are others. There may be others in the diocese.
There are others who have various levels of involvement with scouting. Those two are men who have achieved the rank of eagle, which is the highest rank in scouting. There is a certain uniqueness about their involvement with scouting. I've run into perhaps a dozen priests who have been scouts but did not achieve that rank of eagle.
And I understand that some of the troops I know that are in the parishes, they have non-Catholic scouts in them.
Scouting asks that if you're going to use the program, your membership has to be open. Now, you can charter a unit, and you can use the unit to your own advantage, and you don't force other people to ascribe to the religious, you know, activities that are occurring. But they're certainly welcome to be members of the troop, because the scouting program is what attracts them. I know scout programs without question that have brought people back to the church, lapsed Catholics, whose young people have become involved in scouting, and they come back because of the religious programming.
It's my understanding that you will celebrate a vigil mass tonight.
Yes.
And that all the campers will attend this tonight. What are some of your plans for the future for Catholic scouting in this diocese?
Well, there are all kinds of possibilities, and we have an absolutely wonderful Catholic Committee on Scouting. One of the things I'd like to see, certainly, is this Ten Commandments hike, where they go from, you know, a number of churches and would visit, and then the pastor or somebody involved in the church office, something on each of the commandments. You can do ecumenical kinds of things where they visit different churches. You certainly do things like this, jamborees, like we did at Fort Jackson, retreats, where they come for a weekend with more of a spiritual focus. I mean, there's really no limit to what you can do. I'm particularly impressed with the number of service projects that are being done for so many of our churches. I happened to be just a couple of weeks ago in Our Lady of the Hills in Colombia, and I went there to offer Mass for those folks who are on retreat who are doing prison ministry. And as I drove up into the church, there's a whole group of scouts doing an Eagle Scout project with this young man, and they are preparing a whole section to put in a new set of Stations of the Cross. And what a beautiful job they were doing. But this happens over and over. St. Teresa's in Somerville, that whole garden area is all being done as an Eagle Scout project. I'm sure that I could go through the list of parishes in the diocese to see these service projects that scouts are doing contribute to the various parishes.
Bishop, we thank you for visiting with us today, and this gives us an opportunity through Catholic Radio to bring as much attention as possible to Catholic scouting in this diocese. And thank you for your support of Catholic scouting.
You've been listening to Mediatrix Radio's presentation of Catholic Radio at the Jamboree, recorded March 20th, 2010 at Camp Barstow, located on the shores of Lake Murray in Batesville, South Carolina. If you'd like to listen to this special show again, it is available in the local programming section of our website, www.catholicradioinsc.com. That's catholicradioinsc.com. Thank you for listening to Mediatrix Radio's coverage of this Catholic scouting event. And from all of us at Mediatrix Radio, God bless.
Huh. Well, that sort of brings it all back. They said they'd keep the show available on their website. I'll check it out when I get home. Speaking of which, I'm just about there. Well, like I said, I'll remember this weekend for a long time.
St. Anthony's Catholic Store, a proud sponsor of Catholic Radio, offers books on apologetics, spirituality, theology, and church history to assist adults and children in their faith formation. They also provide sacred vessels, vestments, and hand-carved statuary to parishes, and maintain an inventory of baptismal, communion, confirmation, and wedding gifts. For more information about this family-owned business located at 443C Congaree Road near Haywood Mall, John or Judy can be reached at 864-288-0335.
The parable of the fig tree in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, is a do-it-or-else message, like a parent must deliver to a disobedient child sometimes. Could it be that if we are disobedient to his commands and selfish with the gifts he's given us, we may get the axe reserved for that fig tree? We should repent and admit that God gives us all we have. We should submit to his commands and give of our resources for the good of the community. We should do this gladly and joyfully because, after all, it's not our money. I'm Joe Galloway.
Joe Galloway is a published author and popular speaker. With over 25 years of investment and banking experience, Joe works with individuals and business owners on their important money matters. In an effort to transform his work into a faith-filled vocation, Joe began It's Not Your Money, a web-based ministry that redirects people's attitudes about money and personal finances toward God. To learn more,
Joe's website is www.itsnotyourmoney.org. Again, itsnotyourmoney.org.